but never to abide in it. For if Captain Credence, Captain Good Hope, or Captain Experience did but show themselves, they fled. Those that went out against the blood men did as they were commanded. They forbore to slay any, but sought to compass them about. But the blood... Thou seest also what a company of my father's host I have lodged within thy borders, captains and rulers, soldiers and men of war, engines and excellent devices to subdue and bring down thy foes. Thou knowest my meaning, O Mansoul. And they are my servants and thine too, Mansoul. Yea, my design of possessing of thee with them, and the natural tendency of each of them, is to defend, purge, strengthen, and sweeten thee for myself, O Mansoul, and to make thee meet for my father's presence, blessing, and glory. For thou, my Mansoul, art created to be prepared unto these. Thou seest, moreover, my Mansoul, how I have passed by thy backslidings, and have healed thee. Indeed, I was angry with thee. But I have turned mine anger away from thee, because I love thee still, and mine anger and mine indignation is ceased in the destruction of thine enemies. O Mansoul, nor did thy goodness fetch me again unto thee. After that I for my transgressions have hid my face, and withdrawn my presence from thee. The way of backsliding was thine, but the way and means of thy recovery was mine. I invented the means of thy return. It was I that made a hedge and a wall. When thou wast beginning to turn to things in which I delighted not, it was I that made thy sweet bitter, thy day-night, thy smooth way thorny, and that also confounded all that sought thy destruction. It was I that set Mr. Godly Fear to work in Mansoul. It was I that stirred up thy conscience and understanding, thy will and thy affections after thy great and woeful decay. It was I that put life into thee, O Mansoul, to seek me, that thou mightest find me, and in thy finding find thine own health, happiness, and salvation. It was I that fetched the second time the Diabolonians out of Mansoul, and it was I that overcame them and that destroyed them before thy face. And now, my Mansoul, I am returned to thee in peace, and thy transgressions against me are as if they had not been. Nor shall it be with thee as in former days, but I will do better for thee than at thy beginning. For yet a little while, O my Mansoul, even after a few more times are gone over thy head, I will, but be not thou troubled at what I say, take down this famous town of Mansoul, stick and stone, to the ground. And I will carry the stones thereof, and the timber thereof, and the walls thereof, and the dust thereof, and the inhabitants thereof into mine own country, even into a kingdom of my father, and will there set it up in such strength and glory as it never did see in the kingdom where now it is placed. I will even there set it up for my father's habitation. For that purpose it was at first erected in the kingdom of universe, and there will I make it a spectacle of wonder, a monument of mercy, and the admirer of its own mercy. There shall the natives of Mansoul see all that of which they had seen nothing here. There shall they be equal to those unto whom they have been inferior here. And there shalt thou, O my Mansoul, have such communion with me, with my father, and with your Lord Secretary, as it is not possible here to be enjoyed, nor ever could be, shouldst thou live in universe the space of 1,000 years. And there, O my Mansoul, thou shalt be afraid of murderers no more, of Diabolonians and their threats no more. There shall be no more plots, nor contrivances, nor designs against thee, O my Mansoul. There thou shalt no more hear the evil tidings or the noise of the Diabolonian drum. There thou shalt not see the Diabolonian standard-bearers, nor yet behold Diabolus' standard. No Diabolonian mount shall be cast up against thee there, nor shall there the Diabolonian standard be set up to make thee afraid. There thou shalt not need captains, engines, soldiers, and men of war. There thou shalt meet with no sorrow nor grief, nor shall it be possible that any Diabolonian should again, forever, be able to creep into thy skirts, burrow in thy walls, or be seen again within thy borders all the days of eternity. Life there shall last longer than here you are able to desire it should. And yet it shall always be sweet and new, nor shall any impediment attend it forever. There, O Mansoul, thou shalt meet with many of those that have been like thee, and that have been partakers of thy sorrows, even such as I have chosen and redeemed and set apart as thou for my father's court and city royal. All they will be glad in thee, and thou, when thou seest them, shalt be glad in thine heart. There are things, O Mansoul, even things of my father's providing and mine, that never were seen since the beginning of the world. They are laid up with my father and sealed up among his treasures for thee, till thou shalt come thither to enjoy them. I told you before that I would remove my Mansoul and set it up elsewhere, and where I will set it, there are those that love thee, and those that rejoice in thee now, how much more when they shall see thee exalted to honor. My father will then send them for you to fetch you, and their bosoms are chariots to put you in. And you, O my Mansoul, shall ride upon the wings of the wind. They will come to convey, conduct, and bring you to that, when your eyes see more, that will be your desired haven. And thus, O my Mansoul, I have showed unto thee what shall be done to thee hereafter. If thou canst hear, if thou canst understand, and now I will tell thee what at present must be thy duty and practice, until I come and fetch thee to myself, according as is related in the scriptures of truth. First I charge thee that thou dost hereafter keep more white and clean the liveries which I gave thee before my last withdrawing from thee. Do it, I say, for this will be thy wisdom. They are in themselves fine linen, but thou must keep them white and clean. This will be your wisdom, your honor, and will be greatly for my glory. When your garments are white, the world will count you mine. Also when your garments are white, then I am delighted in your ways, for then your goings to and fro will be like a flash of lightning, that those that are present must take notice of. Also their eyes will be made to dazzle thereat. Deck thyself, therefore, according to my bidding, and make thyself by my law straight steps for thy feet. So shall thy king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Now that thou mayest keep them as I bid thee, I have, as I before did tell thee, provided for thee an open fountain to wash thy garments in. Look, therefore, that thou wash often in my fountain, and go not in defiled garments. For as it is to my dishonor and my disgrace, so it will be to thy discomfort, when you shall walk in filthy garments. Let not therefore my garments, your garments, the garments that I gave thee, be defiled or spotted by the flesh. Keep thy garments always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. My Mansoul, I have oftentimes delivered thee from the designs, plots, attempts, and conspiracies of Diabolus. And for all this I ask thee nothing, but that thou render not to me evil for my good, but that thou bear in mind my love, and the continuation of my kindness to my beloved Mansoul, so as to provoke thee to walk in thy measure, according to the benefit bestowed on thee. Of old the sacrifices were bound with cords to the horns of the altar. Consider what is said to thee, O my blessed Mansoul. O my Mansoul, I have lived, I have died. I live and will die no more for thee. I live that thou mayest not die. Because I live, thou shalt live also. I reconcile thee to my Father by the blood of my cross, and being reconciled, thou shalt live through me. I will pray for thee. I will fight for thee. I will yet do thee good. Nothing can hurt thee but sin. Nothing can grieve me but sin. Nothing can make thee base before thy foes but sin. Take heed of sin, my Mansoul. And dost thou know why I at first, and do still, suffer Diabolonians to dwell in thy walls, O Mansoul? It is to keep thee wakening, to try thy love, to make thee watchful, and to cause thee yet to prize my noble captains, their soldiers, and my mercy. It is also that yet thou mayest be made to remember what a deplorable condition thou once was in. I mean when, not some, but all did dwell, not in thy walls, but in thy castle, and in thy stronghold, O mansoul. O my mansoul, should I slay all them within, many there would be without that would bring thee into bondage. For were all these within cut off, those without would find thee sleeping, and then, as in a moment, they would swallow up my mansoul. I therefore left them in thee, not to do thee hurt, the which they yet will, if thou hearken to them and serve them, but to do thee good, the which they must, if thou watch and fight against them. Know therefore that whatever they shall tempt thee to, my design is that they should drive thee, not further off, but nearer to my Father, to learn thee war, to make petitioning desirable to thee, and to make thee little in thine own eyes. Hearken diligently to this, my mansoul. Show me then thy love, my mansoul, and let not those that are within thy walls take thy affections off from him that hath redeemed thy soul. Yea, let the sight of a Diabolonian heighten thy love to me. I came once and twice and thrice to save thee from the poison of those arrows that would have wrought thy death. Stand for me, thy friend, my mansoul, against the Diabolonians, and I will stand for thee before my Father and all his court. Love me against temptation, and I will love thee notwithstanding thine infirmities. O my mansoul, remember what my captains, my soldiers, and mine engines have done for thee. They have fought for thee, they have suffered by thee, they have borne much at thy hands to do thee good, O mansoul. Hast thou not had them to help thee? Diabolus had certainly made a hand of thee. Nourish them, therefore, my mansoul. When thou dost well, they will be well. When thou dost ill, they will be ill and sick and weak. Make not my captains sick, O mansoul, for if they be sick, thou canst not be well. If they be weak, thou canst not be strong. If they be faint, thou canst not be stout and valiant for thy king, O mansoul. Nor must thou think always to live by sense. Thou must live upon my word. Thou must believe, O my mansoul, when I am from thee, that yet I love thee and bear thee upon mine heart forever. Remember therefore, O my mansoul, that thou art beloved of me, as I have, therefore, taught thee to watch, to fight, to pray, and to make war against my foes. So now I command thee to believe that my love is constant to thee. O my mansoul, how have I set my heart, my love, upon thee? Watch. Behold, I lay none other burden upon thee than what thou hast already. Hold fast till I come. Prince Emmanuel the Great, Lord of all worlds, the Master of Mercy, we, thy poor, wretched, miserable, dying town of Mansoul, do confess unto thy great and glorious majesty that we have sinned against thy Father and thee, and are no more worthy to be called thy Mansoul, but rather to be cast into the pit. If thou wilt slay us, we have deserved it. If thou wilt condemn us to the deep, we cannot but say thou art righteous. We cannot complain whatever thou dost, or however thou carriest it towards us. But, O, let mercy reign, and let it be extended to us. O, let mercy take hold upon us, and free us from our transgressions, and we will sing of thy mercy and of thy judgment. Amen. This petition, when drawn up, was designed to be sent to the prince as the first, but who should carry it? That was the question. Some said, let him do it that went with the first, but others thought not good to do that, and that because he sped no better now, there was an old man in the town, and his name was Mr. Gooddeed, a man that bare only the name, but had nothing of the nature of the thing. Now some were for sending him, but the recorder was by no means for that. For, said he, we now stand in need of, and are pleading for mercy. Wherefore, to send our petition by a man of this name will seem to cross the petition itself. Should we make Mr. Gooddeed our messenger, when our petition cries for mercy? Besides, quoth the old gentleman, should the prince now, as he receives the petition, ask him and say, what is thy name? As nobody knows, but he will. And he should say, old good deed. What think you would Emmanuel say but this? Aye, is old good yet alive in man's soul? Then let old good deed save you from your distresses. And if he says so, I am sure we are lost. Nor can 1,000 of old good deeds save man's soul. After the recorder had given in his reasons why old good deed should not go with this petition to Emmanuel, the rest of the prisoners and chief of Mansoul opposed it also. And so old good deed was laid aside, and they agreed to send Mr. Desires awake again. So they sent for him, and desired him that he would a second time go with their petition to the prince. And he readily told them he would. But they did bid him that in any wise he should take heed that no word or carriage he gave offense to the prince. For by doing so, for aught we can tell, you may bring Mansoul into utter destruction, said they. Now Mr. Desires Awake, when he saw that he must go on this errand, besought that they would grant that Mr. Wet Eyes might go with him. Now this Mr. Wet Eyes was a near neighbor of Mr. Desires, a poor man, a man of a broken spirit, yet one that could speak well to a petition. So they granted that he should go with them. Wherefore they addressed themselves to their business. Mr. Desires put a rope upon his head, and Mr. Wet Eyes went with his hands wringing together. Thus they went to the prince's pavilion. Now when they went to petition this third time, they were not without thoughts that, by often coming, they might be a burden to the prince. Wherefore, when they were come to the door of his pavilion, they first made their apology for themselves, and for their coming to trouble Emmanuel so often. And they said that they came not hither today, for that they delighted in being troublesome, or for that they delighted to hear themselves talk, but for that necessity caused them to come to his majesty. They could, they said, have no rest day or night because of their transgressions against Shaddai and against Emmanuel his son. They also thought that some misbehavior of Mr. Desires Awake the last time might give distaste to his highness, and so caused that he returned from so merciful a prince empty and without countenance. So when they had made this apology, Mr. Desires Awake cast himself prostrate upon the ground, as at the first, at the feet of the mighty prince, saying, oh, that man's soul might live before thee. And so he delivered his petition. The prince then, having read the petition, turned aside a while as before, and coming again to the place where the petitioner lay on the ground, he demanded what his name was, and of what esteem in the account of Mansoul, for that he, above all the multitude in Mansoul, should be sent to him upon such an errand. Then said the man to the prince, oh, let not my lord be angry. And why inquirest thou after the name of such a dead dog as I am? Pass by, I pray thee, and take not notice of who I am, because there is, as thou very well knowest, so great a disproportion between me and thee. Why the townsmen chose to send me on this errand to my lord is best known to themselves, but it could not be for that they thought I had a favor with my lord. For my part, I am out of charity with myself. Who, then, should be in love with me? Yet live I would, and so would I, that my townsmen should. And because both they and myself are guilty of great transgressions, therefore they have sent me, and I am come in their names to beg of my lord for mercy. Let it please thee, therefore, to incline to mercy, but ask not what thy servants are.